Yeah. And please ask questions as we go through this, because, you know, if you ask questions, then we get a lot more out of this than just letting me ramble on. And so,
wait, I have a question. To mute ourselves, if we might make a noise, like I have a big grandfather clock that's going to go off in a second because it's late. it's always late. Can I punch six? Oh, here it goes. Can I
star
punch six?
Star six.
Okay.
Star six, yeah.
Okay, well, I won't change the grandfather clock. I'll leave that for another day.
Oh, and how do you unmute? If you have to unmute, how do you unmute?
Same way.
Star six again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. If you'd like to talk or something, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, this magical tour to Egypt in October, which of course is a very special time to go to Egypt. But to go to Egypt, it opens up for us a whole journey of initiation, because Egypt is a major place of initiations. And I don't know if any of you have read Initiation in the Great Temple by Evelyn Cheney. That is an amazing book. And then there, of course, there's the book called The Emerald Tablets. And that is also an amazing book. And I know that Flo has read so much, slept on it. And I sleep on it every night. I take it everywhere with me around the world because it's extremely important, because it has a lot of ancient wisdom in it. Not that I read it very often, but it travels with me. It likes to travel with me. And the teachings of Thoth and the ancient teachings that have come down to us. And it is said, you know, that when Thoth came to Egypt, that the Great Sphinx is now built over where his spaceship landed and where his spaceship is buried down underneath it with all of the knowledge that he brought with him. And, of course, the Emerald Tablets themselves, which were originally in Egypt, are now scattered around the world. And I believe one of them is buried at Tara in Ireland. And from 1900 to 1908, a group of Israelites, as they were called then, from London, spent 8 years doing a dig at Tara, at a place within Tara called the House of the Senate. And they were looking for the Ark. They believed that the Ark of the Covenant was buried there. And with my belief and my understanding, and I have taken so many people there who have been great dowsers and used their pendulums and all sorts of different things, and I have yet to get a person to tell me, no, I am not getting a positive yes to one or more of the Emerald Tablets being buried here. So that is, you know, some of the great awakenings that come out of there. And, of course, we're in this time of the Second Coming. It's a great time of initiation. And we are in the ascension process at winter solstice this year, going through the fourth interdimensional gateway into the fifth dimension of the 13 gateways. And so it is the Great Pyramid and Egypt is extremely important, because if you look at the first coming of Jesus, and he had his fourth initiation in the Great Temple or in the Great Pyramid, and so as he was working towards to bring forth the Christ consciousness. And for those of you that have a little difficulty with Christ consciousness, you can use universal consciousness, you can use, you know, infinite consciousness. But, you know, Master Jesus did bring us a consciousness. And it has absolutely nothing to do with Christianity. It was there before Christianity, and it will be there after Christianity. Because, you know, most of us people, I think, that are on here at this moment in time are post-denominational people. So you have to look at the enormity of what it is in the energy that was brought through. Because as the as I said on our talk about France a couple of weeks ago, my belief is that Jesus brought through the consciousness, but Mary Magdalene was the soul of the consciousness because she was the one that birthed it. And so, you know, everything, nothing comes through into this world without the woman, without the female. Everything that grows out of Mother Earth, every child that's born comes out of the woman. All that happens, the man is the seed planter. The woman is the birther. And to me, Mary Magdalene was the birther of the Christ consciousness, or the universal consciousness, or whatever it is, word that you feel comfortable with. But it was a consciousness that was brought to us at that time, and everybody that arrived on the planet after that moment in time was born, irrespective of what religion they were born into it because with the Christ consciousness. And it didn't matter whether you were, because you had the gift of compassion, of love, and forgiveness, which is what he brought us. And so, you know, everybody has, and as well, you know, the other great thing is about, we were born into certain religions, all of us, because we had a karma with that religion, and we had to heal that karma before we could move on. And this is one of the great things about going to Egypt, because it's a place of initiation. It is a place that wakens within us, and it takes us to another level of understanding. And so as we arrive in, and it is a very pivotal point in the world. There are three places in the world that are very much the gateways to the new consciousness. And one is Lake Titicaca in Peru. The other is Tara in Ireland. And the third one is the Great Pyramid at Giza. And they're all connected on the same ley line. There's a ley line that leaves Lake Titicaca in Peru, comes into Ireland off a little island called Inishmore off the west coast of Ireland, comes across Ireland and goes through Tara. And from Tara, it goes on across Europe and ends up at the Pyramid at Giza, and nobody has plotted where it goes from there. But there is a circle that it goes, and it will eventually end up back at Lake Titicaca again. And so that is important for us to know. And when we arrive in Cairo, we see, of course, the incredible museum and all of the beautiful articles that are within the museum. We travel around the pyramids, we go around the Giza plateau, we see the solar boat museum, you'll see the amazing boats that they used to travel in, just absolutely amazing. The artifacts in the museum are amazing. You know, we'll only just have a tiny glimpse of them. We'll be there for about 3 hours. But it's like amazing artifacts, absolutely amazing. And, we do all of that. We go to see the Step Pyramid. We go to Saqqara. And the high priest, the architects, the physicians, the Magnus, everybody that was there. And all of the different tiers and rectangles and everything it's just absolutely amazing. And of course, it was the old kingdom capital of Memphis. And so that is just an amazing place to be. And after lunch, we go to Dashur, and that is an amazing pyramid as well. And so, and we see some amazing things like the weaving and handcrafts and everything like that. And then, of course, we visit Coptic Cairo. And Coptic Cairo is just an absolutely beautiful places. You will connect in very much with, there's a lot to do with the Divine Mother there. There is some ancient paintings, some beautiful ley lines that run through some of these churches. And it's opens up one and the energy, and you feel the energy of the heart. And Egypt is very much a place of the energy of the heart. It opens you up. And then, of course, we go to the Citadel, and the Citadel, of course, has its amazing mosque in it. And when you stand in the center of that mosque, it's not a fully active mosque anymore. It's more of a tourist attraction. But it has to be honored in all the same way as if it was a working mosque. And you go in there and you stand in the center of that, and you're like in the middle of a vortex. And it can take you into other dimensions. It is just an amazing experience. And so they are all the wonderful things that we will see in Cairo before we... and of course we will go to a papyrus gallery, and we'll go to a perfume palace. They have some amazing perfumes, and they call them perfumes, but they're kind of a blend between a perfume and an essential oil. And but they are very amazing. And then,
they're amazing. They're amazing.
Yeah.
They really are. Yeah.
Yeah. I have some of them here. I've given away a lot, but I still have some here, and they have some very beautiful energies in them and some great healing powers and everything.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah. And then we go to Aswan, where we join our boat for the cruise, and we visit the ancient granite quarries and the unfinished obelisk and the Temple of Pele, and we sail around Kitchener's Botanical Garden, and we go to Kom Ombo, and we will visit the temples there, and then we'll sail on to Edefu overnight. And so all of this, it's a very full a journey. We tend to get up very early in the morning and finish early afternoon, because it gets pretty hot in the afternoons, and so it's easy because people then can come back and rest and everything before dinner. So that is a wonderful part of doing all of this. And on the cruise, it's lovely because you relax, and you can have a little swim, and you can not in the Nile itself, but there's a little swimming pool, and there's lovely deck to lie out and take some sun and watch the world go by. And of course then when we go to the Temple of Horus, the Falcon God, which is amazing. And this is the second largest temple after Karnak, and it is just amazing to go there. And we go there by a horse-drawn carriage, and that is a wonderful experience. And then we sail on a little further, and then we visit the West Bank in the Valley of the Kings, and we visit the Valley of the Queens, and the Temple of the Queen Hesperus, and we overnight in Luxor. And all of these temples are amazing. And we will have with us a local Egyptologist who is also a very spiritual woman, and her name is Maha. And Maha has been working with me for about 5 or 6 years. And she is just a little delight to work with. And if we get into any trouble, we don't get into any trouble because her husband's a judge. He can pull us out of it. And her mother is the professor of pharmacy at the University of Cairo. So when we have people that have to go down with a little stomach problem or something, and we need to get some prescription medication, she organizes that for us. So we have all these little connections that we may need, but usually we have sufficient to carry with us that, you know, that we don't need these, but we have all these facilities available, and we've had to call on them once or twice. And, you know, then we visit all of the temples at Karnak and Luxor, and there are amazing, beautiful, colossal statues and shrines and obelisks, and you have all of the different etchings on the walls and the different experiences, and we have meditations in different rooms. We have Maha is very good at getting the guards to let us into places that not all tourists get in to see, so we get to see that, and we get to experience lots of wonderful things. And then of course we have we go to Dendara and Abydos. And that is an amazing place. You know, both of them are amazing place. And you know, the Hathars, the temple of the Hathars, and the goddess of beauty and love, and so we, in all of that. And so we have, and of course, it's dedicated to the star Sirius. And so we have all of that. And so each temple has its own energy and its own set of, I suppose, it's each of them are a vortex in their own way. And we can have anything from interdimensional experiences to vortex experiences to major healings to major past life, to all sorts of different things. You have no idea what is going to happen at any moment at any one of these temples. And people have all sorts of different experiences, and you might be at one temple and you go, oh, well, you know, that was okay. And then you go to the next temple and you get poof, you know, and you suddenly start ending up thinking about, oh my God. And it will take you back, and you might be taken back into the temple where you thought nothing was working for you. And so you don't ever know what is going to happen in any one moment, and where the energies are going to take you. Because there is so much ancient wisdom there, and you're walking into this matrix of ancient wisdom, and you're in the energy of the now. And as these two energies come together, we wait to see what gets birthed. It is like the coming together of the masculine, the feminine, the sacred union that takes place between the ancient wisdom and the energy of the now. And downloads happen, experiences happen, healings happen. And this is how it goes every day. You have to drink lots of water. But we have lots of water on the bus. And so that is one of the beauties of going to Egypt. And so then you have some free time in Luxor, and then we fly back to Cairo, and then we get up very early in the morning, about 5 o'clock in the morning, maybe 4:30, depending on what guards are on duty, because we get 2 hours. We get 2 hours at between the Great Pyramid and the Sphinx. And so sometimes I get 3 hours. It depends on the guards and what we have to do to get the guards to let us in earlier. If we get in, sometimes they let us in at 5 o'clock. It's usually from 6 to 8. But I have been in there at 5:30 in the morning. And so that was the earliest I've got in, 5:30. But that gives us a lot of time, because then we're not rushed. And so as we go into the Great Pyramid, we first go to the Great Pyramid, and then we go up and climb in there. And anybody who wants to go in and lie in the sarcophagus can lie in the sarcophagus and see what comes forth for them. And we have a little ceremony within the Great Pyramid, and then we move down to the Sphinx, which the energy there is amazing. And then we have an amazing experience at the Sphinx. Everybody has an amazing experience at the Sphinx. And it is just a mystical and magical place. And then you have some free time to just absorb the energies, take some photographs. And at 8 o'clock, by 8 o'clock, we have to be out because it opens at 8 o'clock to the public, but the Sphinx is not open to the public, so that has to be closed. So we have to be outside the gate by 8 o'clock before they start allowing the public in so that they can lock the gates. And so, and they get very, very upset if we're not outside. There's a big fine if we don't get out. There's also a very hefty fee to get in there, which we is all part of the tour anyway. But so, anybody got any questions?
It sounds wonderful, but how safe is it to go to Egypt at this time?
It is very safe. It's as safe as going to New York City. I tell you, no, it is very safe. Any city you go to, it's as safe as going to any city. And all the time traveling with us, we will have a security guard with us the whole time, who is actually a policeman. And he travels with us just in case we get, diverted or anything like that. And usually we don't get diverted because if they have a roadblock for some reason, our little man gets out. And he tells the officers that are manning the roadblock that we're going through. And, if they're diverting traffic, they for their own particular reasons that they don't want people going down, we don't ever have to do that. This guy gets out, and he takes care of everything, and we sail along. And that's his job. And the whole thing is to make sure that the tourists are protected, and that they get from A to B without any hassle. And Egypt has, they're the only country that I know that I've ever traveled to that have tourist police. And I lost a lady in Egypt one time who decided to go off and feed a cat instead of following the group. And it took the tourist police an hour and a half to find her. But they did find her and bring her back. And of course, the amazing thing was about it that she blamed her roommate for her getting lost. She didn't want to accept any responsibility for getting lost. It was her roommate's fault. But anyway, that was one of the beauties of it. But it is extremely safe. You're extremely safe at the hotel. You're extremely safe when we're out and about. The only thing is when we go to restaurants, if you want to go out and do some shopping, we have to send somebody with you. You do not leave the restaurant and go off out and start rambling the streets on your own. That is not advised because we stop in different places and it's not a good thing to ramble off out on your own, and it's not a good thing to ramble out at the hotel on your own. If you're going out to go to the shops down the street or something like that, you go in a group of three or four people. You just don't go on your own. And it's okay if you have some men, it's okay, but not for ladies to walk on their own. I don't recommend. I'm sure they'd be perfectly safe. I know women who do it, and I'm sure they'd be perfectly safe. But I don't recommend for it to have people feel safe. And
I was there by myself. I was there by myself, and it isn't the easiest thing.
Yeah. And it's not, but you're perfectly safe. There is, at all times, I have been there before the uprising and after the uprising and everything else. And there is, I have not ever seen any trouble there. It's like I used to go to Sri Lanka when they had the civil war on there, and people used to say, but it's not safe. Well, we never, in 8 years of going in during the civil war in Sri Lanka, we never saw anything or never experienced anything. And so, and I believe that we are a spiritual group and that we're divinely protected and therefore nothing happens to us.
Okay.
I have lived with that philosophy for the last 14 years that I've been doing these tours, and it always works.
Right.
And so, yeah. If you believe you're divinely protected, you are divinely protected. And they go to, I will tell you, the we go, the tour company, the ground operator that takes us around in Egypt is a Coptic Christian company, and they go to the ends of the earth to make sure that everything is perfect for us. And they're very mindful because it's their business, and they have got to make sure. And they're the second largest ground operator in Egypt, and they bring in like thousands and thousands of people, and most of their business comes from the U.S. and Canada. And you know, people have been in there. I think it's right now. I think Alona Joy is there, or if she's not there this week, she's there next week. And she's in there with, and William Henry has just come back after being there with a group. I know several people who have been in and out of there with groups in the past like 3 or 4 months, and I know some people who are going in with groups. So there is nothing, you know, no problems, and you are perfectly safe.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
I wouldn't take people there if I didn't think they were safe. You know, even taking people, I've taken people to Israel, and people say, you know, we didn't even see a soldier in the whole time we were in Israel. The only thing that was a little scary in Israel was when we went, the day we went to Bethlehem, because we had to walk, you know, that big wall they're building. We had to go through the gates, walk down by that big wall, and go through the gates to get into the West Bank, and then get on a bus at the other side. But, you know, that was the only thing. It was a little scary, like looking up at this wall that was 30, 50 feet up into the air. And you're like a little midget walking along beside this wall. And then you got to the gate and you got in and everything was perfect, you know. And but we didn't see
Finbar, there's a lot of noise. I'm not sure what that's about for people. Maybe people could mute. It just sounds like people are like moving things around. I'm not sure if it's sometimes the line gets, you know, a little bit staticky, but sometimes it sounds like you're underwater too.
Yeah,
somebody's doing something, but that we can hear everything that people are doing, so maybe we
you can? Okay.
Yeah, something's happening. Yeah.
So I can mute everybody, and then if anybody wants to ask me a question, they can just, or if everybody wants to do star 6, and then when you want to speak, because if I mute you all, you'll then be in a different zone. So if you just do star 6, and then
we'll do star 6. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then
if you want to talk, yeah.
Yeah, just do star 6 to come back talk. I'm not hearing that static. I heard it a little while ago, but it seems to have gone now.
Yeah, I think it did go. When we spoke about it, I think it stopped, yeah.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say something. Did you mute everybody? Can you hear me?
No, I didn't. I think everybody can hear you. I can hear you anyway.
Okay, great. I just wanted to say, when I went to Scotland in 1993 with some of the people that some of the ladies on here know, we went to a mountain called Quinag, Loch Assynt, and I went there with Finbar some years after that and took a group. And the mountain looks like the Sphinx. It looks like the Sphinx very clearly, like on its side. And I have pictures of it, and I'm thinking that the Nameless Ones and this energy is going to come forth. I'm just really feeling that it's going to come forth when we're in Egypt. And it was amazing and powerful, and I feel like the connection will be clearer for us, you know, and I know a lot of the ladies on know the Nameless Ones and have worked with them, so I'm interested to see what will happen. And if anybody wants, I can send you those pictures of the Sphinx. It's, you know, the mountain in Scotland that is where one of the places where the Nameless Ones actually transmit from. And it's really a fascinating thing. Anyway, if people would like that, I can send them that picture, or pictures, actually.
And as well, you know, the Great Pyramid, as I said earlier on, will be a major initiation for everybody in the Sphinx, because, as I said, it was the fourth initiation point of the five initiations for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And we have all of that, and each temple has its own different initiation and its own different matrix that will bring us, you know, and we'll even come in contact with the flower of life and everything. So, you know, everything opens us up to the beauty of what we're experiencing and helping us move forward in the fifth dimension.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, on our journey of self-realization.
Yeah.
So anything else you want to say, Flo?
It just feels like also our time on the Nile is going to be very exciting, very, very beautiful and very nourishing. There's just so much that's flowing through that confluence of the land and the water.
Yeah.
It feels like it's going to actually help us to clear a lot so that we can bring in more as we're moving through. Yeah,
and I've been told, Flo, that we need to do our special ceremony on that boat, well, and the Nile.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true.
So we had the noise.
Some quality in the water. I'm really feeling like there's a quality in the water very similar to the quality in the Sea of Galilee.
Yeah.
And when I was at Sea of Galilee, the information from the water was amazing. I put some of it in I Remember Union, but that feeling of that there's a connection there, too, is that the consciousness of the water in the Nile is equal to that of the consciousness of the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus spoke to the water and walked on the water. You know, that it feels...
Yeah.
I'm getting very excited about it.
Well, there is, and I think it's very important, and water initiations are very important at this time in awakening us, because that was the whole thing of the original baptism, was to open us up to the gifts of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It was to crack the shell, and that was that's what the whole meaning of baptism is cracking the shell to allow the gifts of the Spirit flow into the child.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Okay.
Anybody
All right.
else got any questions?
Interesting sound effects. I don't know.
Now, when do we have to sign up for this?
When, as soon as you would like to. The final payment is due 60 days beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody wants to have a payment schedule, we can do a payment schedule for people as well.
Okay.
Yes, you're very generous, Tinbar. Very generous, yeah. Yeah. So you'll work with anybody that wants to really come.
I'll work with anybody that wants to come, yeah. Because it's important for them to be there at this time.
Yeah.
What's the total cost of the trip?
Okay. Now you're going to ask me something that I don't know off the top of my head.
I just had it up. Wait a minute, I can get it.
Okay, $4,400. And plus your airfare, of course. But you're staying in 5-star hotels. Everything is included except 3 lunches.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That includes all your tips, and it includes all the internal. We have 3 internal air flights, and it includes everything from once you arrive until being picked up at the airport to once you're dropped off. And there are 3 lunches that are not covered. Other than that, everything else is covered.
Okay.
And so all your lunches and the dinners in the hotels are magnificent, and make sure you bring your swimsuits because you'll have plenty of opportunity to swim and everything else in the hotels. They have lovely pools and everything else.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Nice.
And so we're all in 5-star hotels the whole time. It's 5-star hotels.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I hope you can all come. It would be absolutely wonderful.
And they'll bring a friend with them as well.
Yes. Well, poof in everything that we need.
Yeah.
Poof it in.
Yeah, and it it will connect up very well with the energy that we will be bringing from France. And I know there's possibly some people who are going to do boat trips, and
I know,
so they will
yeah.
be bringing the energy from France to Egypt with them. And so that will be extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
so, because we'll be running the energy of Mary Magdalene all the way through with us and Mother Mary, and we'll have all gone into that. And my belief, of course, is that Mary Magdalene and Mother Mary were earthly incarnations of Sophia, of the Holy Spirit, each with a specific function that to carry out on earth. And so...
Beautiful.
And so we will be taking that energy, and of course they're connected as well, because you had Mother Mary and her time in Egypt and everything else, and of course Mary Magdalene was in Egypt as well. So we'll be taking that energy with us and connecting into their energy in Egypt as well.
Very full plate.
Yep. Okay, ladies.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Very interesting.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Okay.
And just remember that it's extremely important at this time, and this is a very important year because it's an 8th year. It's the year of manifestation in our lives. It's the year of changing. It's the year of sort of, as I say, we have the 4th interdimensional doorway opening up, gateway opening up on summer solstice. And that is extremely important, taking us to another level. And the energies will be heating up again after that, because we'll be at a different level of consciousness.
Well, that's exciting to hear. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Finbar. Yeah, appreciate you. Appreciate you and your wisdom and your experience and, what you bring to this. It's very, very lovely. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's like a sacred union of everybody coming together, because this is a time of co-creation, and so this is how we take the world forward, because we're building the new foundations, the new dawn.
Exactly. Yeah, we are. All right. Well, thank you very much again, and my love
thank
to each
both.
Of you, and thanks for joining us. Yeah. Oh.
Thank you, everybody. I look forward to seeing you all in Cairo, and some of you, of course, as well in France.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank
you.
Good night. Thank you, everybody.
Good night.
Oh.